Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we're back. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Startup Hustle podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Conaway, founder and CEO of Innovate Her KC. And I got to tell you about today's episode sponsor. Friends, they have me obsessed. It's crazy. Today's episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Equip Bids Auctions, your Midwest online auction marketplace to buy and sell stuff. Equip Bid provides dedicated support to affiliates in Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, and Iowa. Join the team and sell everything from heavy machinery to home goods, vehicles, boats, restaurant and kitchen equipment, tractors, patio furniture. Go to equip-bid.me/startup. That is equip-bid.me/startup for details. Or you can just click the link that we have saved down in the show notes. And I got to tell you, you're opening a door when you do that, friends, because they have so much cool stuff up for auction. All of those things that you never knew that you needed, but you really needed. So definitely check out Equip Bids. Now, today, we have with us Jeff Erickson, and Jeff is the head of partnerships at Forecaster. So really, really interesting platform built within the startup and tech space, and he's going to tell us all about it. Also, we're going to be talking about things like rewards and perks for founders. We talk about how founders, you know, often the journey is pretty scut and it's hard, and you have those white knuckle nights, but sometimes you get cool shit. And we're going to be talking about that. So Jeff, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to join us, my friend.
Oh man, thank you. I'm honored to be on the Startup Hustle. So thanks for having me, Lauren.
Absolutely. Well, it is, the honor is all ours, and I am going to go ahead and hop right into it. Now I got to ask you, Jeff, would you tell us about your journey?
My journey. Oh boy.
It's a loaded question, I know.
How far back do you go? But maybe I'll just start by saying I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah, and went to the University of Utah. Had no idea what I really wanted to study. My dad was an accountant, and so I thought, well, I'll study accounting because it's pretty general, and if you're going to go into business, everybody says you need to know accounting. So I studied accounting and absolutely hated it. So
that was
when I started my journey. I got through an accounting degree and I'm like, I know this is not what I want to do.
Oh, so wait, you did the whole thing. You did.
Oh yeah. I went through the whole accounting degree and finished and still didn't know what I wanted to do. And so I decided to go get an MBA. Again, it was in business. And so I did an MBA at the University of Utah. Enjoyed that much more than, you know, the normal classes, but got out of that and really had a love for investing. I found investing in, especially small cap stocks and things like that was really fun. And, And that led me to join an investment company where I kind of cut my teeth on implementing some of the finance and accounting, I guess, that I had been learning. But it was an interesting start to the journey because, and I'm asked a lot of times, what would you do differently? And I probably would have gotten more experience so I knew what to actually study when I went to school.
Okay.
But yeah,
that's a plug for experiential education, right? Internships, shadowing, things like mentorship, yes. Things like that. Yeah.
I got a taste of that in the MBA program,
yeah.
Which was really fun and fulfilling. But a lot of the stuff I was learning in my MBA program, I just didn't have the context for. I mean, I was joking with my son just the other day about, it's like when I went through my MBA, I was learning about how to manage people and I had never managed anybody. And yeah. And so I think having that experience is something I've told him. I'm like, get experience and then figure out, you know, how the education is applicable.
Yeah. Well, and I think we all know that within the startup space and that entrepreneurial mindset, and you don't have to be an entrepreneur to have an entrepreneurial mindset, but you know, that problem solving, creative, resourceful, kind of paradigm that a lot of entrepreneurs mm-hmm. work within. It's really cool when you can support that with real knowledge, you know, that accounting background, yes. that you have, that MBA. So you're shoring up a mindset that I'm sure you already possessed, but you're doing so with some really deep knowledge in really important
exactly.
areas. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say, I think that the accounting degree would have been much more enjoyable if I would have had some more context. I mean, learning yeah. about debits and credits is not super exciting, but maybe if you have an application for it,
yeah.
it becomes more exciting.
Well, so like somebody you could say to yourself, hey, you know, this is a slog right now. I'm not, you know, loving these classes, but this is going to empower me in my future life as a founder right. or someone operating in the startup and entrepreneurial space, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that was really not a context I had. I didn't know if I wanted to be a founder. I kind of had these visions that maybe someday I'd own my own business, things like that. But it was really after I was at this investment company for about 4 years, one of the partners left to go to a small tech startup. And that was my introduction to the startup Ooh. Space. I was like employee number 15 at this little startup company, got some stock options, and just absolutely loved it. Started at the bottom, trying to figure out stuff for me to do, and ended up just thriving and saw how startup world works. And that became kind of the platform to what I ended up doing next. So
yeah. Well, so I think it's really interesting because you went from a pretty traditional business environment, accounting, MBA, mm-hmm. the whole deal. And then you worked for an investment firm and then you ended up within the startup space. So I find it really interesting whenever people are on one side of the investment table and then transition to another. So can you talk to us a little bit about that? Like what it was like to go from being an investor to working for a company that was probably seeking investment?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think from the investment side, I mean, I was doing all the analytics on the deals and we were looking at different financing opportunities with different companies. And so I got to talk to a lot of founders and that's where it got really exciting, you know, talking to these people that are creating businesses and needing financing to kind of get to the next level. And so then jumping into, you know, out of that role of analyzing businesses to actually being part of a business that is going through the fundraising process became really exciting.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing that I thought was kind of fun, I was young at the time and tons of energy and excitement. But I remember the CEO telling us, it's like, okay, if we're going to be like the Silicon Valley type companies, everybody's got to work. I mean, they're all working 80 hours a week. And so it's like, you're always on.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a detractor to me at that time. I was like, this is awesome. I remember emailing back and forth with the CEO at, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'd send something, he'd send it back. And I'm like, whoa.
I remember those days. I can't do that anymore, though.
No, I know, I'm past that now. But but that was really an exciting time, because it was like, okay, we're all in this together. And that's what I loved about the startup, world is I had equity in this company. And if it succeeded, we all succeeded.
Right.
And it was so energizing, and it felt like we were a team, and that we all had this common goal of, we're going to do something great together.
Absolutely. Because when you're working in startup environments, often, the shit sometimes hits the fan. And sometimes, like I said, you have those white knuckle 3 a.m. nights, and you bolt out of bed just like, what am I forgetting? And so the people that you work with and surround yourself with, you're pulling those long hours and you're doing all the things, like those people become not just your colleagues, but your compatriots, like really the folks that kind of keep you going. You have that, as you said, you have that sense of unified purpose, right? And it's really galvanizing. Yep. Yeah, I love that feeling so much. And so that turned you on to the startup community ecosystem, kind of the startup ethos and feel. What was that? What was that like for you? You thought when you were going to school for accounting and getting your MBA, you thought that you were going in one direction, and here you end up in a completely different direction.
Totally. In fact, I wound up on the sales side, which was really interesting, because I remember I reached out to some folks. I was so passionate about what we were doing. I reached out to some connections I had and ended up bringing in the biggest deal for the company just through some connections. And I'm like, this is fun. And so I started doing more and more sales, and that's kind of the path I started going down with this company. I ended up bringing in a huge percentage of the revenue for the company over the course of a few years. But the thing that was different was that I was so excited about this company. If I would have been, emailing back and forth the CEO at the investment company at 3 o'clock in the morning, I probably would have seen it as a grind. It's like, oh man, what do I, I'm behind. I have to get this done or something. Here it was like, no, I want to do this. And that's what kept me up at night. And so it wasn't the grind that, that you might have of a normal job, let's say.
Sure. Well, that is awesome. And that's, I honestly think that feeling, that, I don't know, sense of purpose, sense of excitement and enthusiasm, that passion, that's what keeps entrepreneurs going. It's really, sometimes it's the only thing you have, this belief that what you're doing is important and momentous. And I love that feeling. All right. Well, so now I really, really want to know, talk to us about Forecaster.
So yeah, Forecaster is an early stage startup, very similar to probably that company I worked at a long time ago.
Because you drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, it's and it's weird, because there was a huge journey in between these two things where I had my own company and ran that as a founder for a period of time. My wife actually started it, and so I had that experience as a founder. And then ended up going to a company most startups probably are familiar with called Carta, where we did cap table management for early stage startups when I first joined. And it's definitely broadened out to a lot more today. But it was while I was at Carta that I met the founders of Forecaster. And they were going through the Techstars program. And this was, a few years back. And we just kind of stayed in touch. But, with Carta, I had actually been more on the sales side. I was developing partnerships with accelerators and venture capital firms and attorneys in the startup space. And again, I was in my element. I loved working with founders. And so as time went on, the founders of Forecaster eventually reached out and said, hey, we're starting to get some traction here. We're building out our partnerships team. Do you know anybody that does what you do at Carta? And we started talking. I'd been at Carta for about 4.5 years and was looking for a smaller company at that point. And it just was the right company at the right time. Forecaster does financial modeling software for early stage startups. So yeah, it was kind of in that same space. I knew a lot of the accelerators, a lot of the venture capital firms, a lot of connections that might be good partners. And I was able to leverage some of that and bring that to Forecaster, where it's been just an amazing journey. One of the things I learned is to look for the founders. Who are the founders of the companies? While I was at Carta, I started doing a lot of angel investing as well. And I was always betting on the founders.
That begs a really, really fascinating question that I have to ask. You know, when you say you're betting on the founders, what specifically are you betting on? What are you looking for?
You know, I think a lot of it is that passion, that drive, and that commitment. The vision, those are the things that are going to get a founder past the hurdles that inevitably come up. You know, especially an early stage company, you know there are going to be challenges that could make or break the company. And it's the founder and their vision and motivation, their ability to tackle hard problems and figure out solutions. That's what's going to help them overcome those things and make it so the determine whether the company survives or dies.
Yeah. Well, and those are like that kind of, that kind of foundation, that core ethic, that's the kind of thing that you can't teach. You can teach a founder process. You can teach a founder optimization and, all of the things, but what you can't teach is that passion, that core that says, nope, can't stop, won't stop, So I love that. That's really exciting. Now, talk to us about the methodology behind Forecaster. So you're helping founders forecast revenue and talk about runway and you're like really drilling down into their numbers so that they can get funded, because no funder is going to look at a startup that doesn't have a really tight handle and control on their numbers and think that that's a good investment, right?
Exactly.
Talk to us about how you came to the numbers.
Yeah. So first off, what we see happen a lot of cases is founders don't know their numbers, and that can trip them up. And sometimes you can get through. I mean, if you're pitching to friends and family, or even an early stage angel, maybe they're going off of your passion, your vision, and everything else. But at some point, you have to know your numbers. You have to know that this business actually makes sense on paper. And the earlier you can do that, the better decisions you can make. So what happens quite frequently is a founder will gear up for raising capital, and they'll realize they need a financial model or something that helps them understand the metrics and the things that they need to be measuring about their business, because that's what investors are going to start to ask about. Investors speak in this language of finance, and most founders don't. And so there's this learning process that really has to take place where, as a founder, if you haven't been through it before, you realize that it's about the KPIs. I mean, you've got to hit certain numbers. You've got to know, what are your costs in certain things, whether it's your customer acquisition cost or, the lifetime value of your customer. Those types of things become really important as you start to really turn this idea and this passion into a real business. And so building out a financial model becomes a critical element at some point. And hopefully early on, because that's going to make you a better founder.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times founders will go to a fractional CFO because, at the early stages, you don't have money or you don't want to give up a huge chunk of the company to bring on a high-powered CFO that's really experienced in this. So they'll go to a fractional CFO. They'll have them build out a financial model for them. They'll get it back. It's in a spreadsheet and it's got 20 tabs in it, and the founders don't know how to use it.
Right.
And they get in there, they play around with it, and all of a sudden they've got circular references happening in Excel, and then they break their model, and it's really not that useful. And so what Forecaster has done is we've built a financial modeling software that makes it easy for founders to be able to build out their financial model. But more importantly, we're helping them on the front end to build their financial model with an analyst that will provide them. So the analyst will go in there and teach them how to build the financial model, teach them what metrics they need to be tracking, and walk through that process. It's almost an education for the founder in here's how my business works on paper or in the software. And that becomes a great tool for these early stage founders where they can now feel confident in the decisions that they're one, presenting to investors, but two, the decisions that they're making to run their business.
Yeah, I feel like to me, it almost seems like the greater benefit actually would be like, hey, you know, these are health metrics. Like, are you doing the right things? Where do you need to change and, you know, adapt your focus? You know, so that kind of data is going to be so invaluable to a founder, particularly an early stage founder who might not know all of the levers and all of the, you know, I's that they have to dot and T's they have to cross. So I can't imagine how astoundingly helpful that would be. Have you gotten really good feedback from users?
Yeah, that's what's amazing. And again, when I was looking at Forecaster as a company, I was looking at the founders. And one of the things that stood out was, well, first, they are a Techstars company that Steven, one of the founders, had been through Techstars twice. And Techstars has this give first mentality built in. Mm-hmm. And so that was a key element. But the other element was this maniacal customer focus. And we've now got over 500 companies using Forecaster and growing very rapidly. I think we're bringing on about 60 companies a month at this point.
Oh, wow. And
Steven is still with every customer that is churning or leaving, he will personally get on the phone with them and talk through, you know, their experience with them. And so it's that maniacal customer focus that really sets Forecaster apart in terms of every customer matters. It's been fascinating to see, and I've learned a ton just watching Steven and Logan, the founders, and how they deal with our customers.
Yeah.
Happy customers. I can't believe how many testimonials we get from customers. And a lot of it comes back to working with the analyst in that first, you know, that first month of service where they're building out the model with the analyst.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I have to tell you how much I love the phrase maniacal customer focus. I'm going to challenge myself and I'm going to challenge listeners. Try to use that phrase at some point today, because man, that was awesome. do you want to hop in? Speaking of maniacal customer focus, we have an amazing sponsor today for Startup Hustle. Today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by EquipBid Auctions, an online marketplace dedicated to growing small auction businesses. They are solving problems and they are providing a fun re-commerce or liquidation shopping experience to valued bidders. Go and check out their incredible offerings and sign up at equip-bid.me/startup or check out the show notes for the link. We made it nice and easy for you. All right. So, Jeff, my friend, I have a question for you. Are you ready?
Okay. I'm ready.
We at the top of the episode, we promised our listeners that we were going to talk about some perks. And so okay. I'm gonna put you on the spot a little bit. Talk to us about founder perks, Jeff.
Okay. I will just say, if you're a startup founder, companies want to serve you. And yeah. they'll make it easy to sign up for their services. Because if you look at it, they want you to succeed. And if you're using their products, they're hoping that you're the next Google or, you know, Netflix.
They're looking for those unicorns.
Yes, the next unicorn. Okay. And if you are, they want you using their services. And if you're using them early on, hopefully you don't leave them later on. So you look at a company like AWS, they are famous for helping startups, you know, get free credits and all kinds of things like that. So that you're using their services. And as an early stage startup, you don't really have a lot of capital. And so your every dollar matters. And so they'll give you free credits and you start using these products for free or these services for free. And then as you start to get, you know, raise capital or start to bring in revenue and start to become profitable, hopefully you're still using their services, but now you're in a position to where you're actually able to pay for them. And they become more and more valuable to you over time because they're ingrained as part of your business. And, you know, I mean, it's just kind of a great way that that startups and service providers can kind of work together. So the reason that we're probably talking about this subject is a few years back, I was
going to say, like, tell us how you're an expert in this. I need.
Why are we even talking about this? Startup.
Yeah, right? I know. But I knew that I had to ask the question because I got to tell you, Jeff, I want perks. I want to know how to find perks. But tell us how you got here, my friend.
Okay. So a few years back, I got together with some other folks that were also, pitching to startups. And we started something called the Startup Stack. And it was a place where, you know, I was at Carta at the time and we were offering startup founders like free service on Carta if you had raised less than $1 million. And so this was a great perk. And I was shocked at how many founders didn't know that. And they would pay full price for something that they could get for free. And so I was like, well, where do they go to find out about these things? And yeah. So we put this group together and like Dialpad had a startup offer where you get 10 free seats using their software. Zendesk had an offer and some folks that I knew at, you know, several other companies, they all had these offers that were specifically for early stage startup founders. And so we put together a website that's called mystartupstack.com. And it's a place where founders can go and find, you know, deals on software or services that are specifically for startup founders with big discounts, sometimes free. And so I always tell people, you know, if they're starting out a company, it's like before you pay for HubSpot or, you know, this software that you're going to use and buy anyways, go to mystartupstack.com and check to see there's probably a discount. I think we've now got, it's coming up on close to $600,000 worth of perks and discounts that are available specifically for early stage founders through mystartupstack.com.
Well, so I think that one of the key takeaways here, and I'm talking to you founders listening at home, you are valuable. Never, yes, ever let it be said that you don't have value. And you can see the proof in the thousands of companies and organizations that are trying to attract your business. So just bear that in mind, friends. Now, I also want to take a moment to honor and acknowledge something about Jeff. In both of your current endeavors, Forecaster and Startup Stack, you are working in service of founders and entrepreneurs. Is that kind of, would you say that that's kind of your core?
I love helping founders. Yes. I think in both organizations, if we could say that we are trying to increase the likelihood of success for founders, that would definitely, go core to my mission.
Yeah. Well, I certainly sense that about you. And now I've got to ask, you know, what are you seeing in the future for your various endeavors? Let's go 5 years from now, 10 years from now. What are you seeing for Jeff Erickson?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, 5 years is a long time, but
I mean, I know you know how to make God laugh. You make a plan. I get it, but you know, let's dream for a minute.
I mean, honestly, I love what I'm doing right now, and I mentioned that I do a lot of angel investing. I've been pretty active. I think I've done like 30 deals in the last 2.5 years. And so I love, again, it gives me an opportunity to work with founders, get to know them, and serve on the advisory board in some instances. And so again, it goes back to helping founders. I would see that I'd continue to do that type of stuff here in the, 5 years out, I'm probably doing the same thing, I would guess. Hopefully with a few exits, maybe that might help provide an additional liquidity that would go into additional founders, but yeah, I I don't see me doing a whole lot different.
Oh man, that's incredible. That means you've landed where you need to be. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, that did you just have an epiphany about your life, Jeff, like right here on Startup Hustle?
There you go. I'm where I need to be.
That is awesome.
Thank you, Lauren.
Well, so talk to us. I do want to talk more about Perks. So definitely, you know, sign up at Startup Stack for sure. But what are some other ways that founders can kind of take advantage of, I don't know, programs, discounts, accelerators, like things that can help propel them forward in their business? Can you give us some tips for our listeners at home to take home with them?
Yeah, for sure. You know, as a startup founder, I mean, don't be embarrassed to plead the bootstrapping phase. It's like, look, we don't have any money and but we're going to be a big company someday. We're trying to raise capital. So no, we can't do a $10,000 sponsorship for this event. I mean, I still plead that with Forecaster. And I mean, we're getting ready to raise a decent round of capital. But still, I mean, every dollar counts. We're at this phase where, you know, no, I'm not going to pay $10,000 for a sponsorship. Can we get in for free? And a lot of times they want you there. And so take advantage of that bootstrapping stage, or even the early stage of getting deals, of, you know, having people have compassion for you. When I talk to the folks at, you know, later stage companies, they always want to pay for everything because we're still an early stage startup. And so let them do that. And then I think the other thing I would say to founders is partner up with those bigger later stage companies, or even the more established companies that have big marketing budgets. And you can associate your brands with them, but they'll pay for a lot of the marketing, and they'll pay for being on, you know, webinars or whatever. So teaming up with some of those companies can also be a great way to kind of get in. Then when it comes to perks, I mean, not only software, but even services. I mean, when you're talking to startup attorneys, I mean, one of the things I always tell founders is make sure you have a good startup attorney. But startup attorneys are expensive.
Yeah.
And so as an early stage founder, even there, you can, you know, shop around, but also talk to, you know, the startup attorneys and say, how do you work with it where, you know, how do you work with early stage companies where we don't have capital to pay you, you know, $700-$800 an hour? And a lot of times they'll openly tell you, well, here's some ways we could potentially work together.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to acknowledge that you don't have capital and you're trying to raise, and be conservative with your capital.
Yeah. Well, and I want to kind of underscore a point here, because as you were talking, you mentioned startup attorneys. And so here in KC, we have a very well-known, very active law firm that actually offers pro bono hours to startup founders. Now, specifically, they are looking for founders of color. But indicative, there are many programs out there, and there are many resources that you can avail yourself of. You know, I know some attorneys and some finance folks who do office hours. You know, leverage those relationships and take advantage of those offerings whenever you can. And sometimes that requires a lot of Googling and a lot of asking around and talking to people who've done it before to find these opportunities. So it's work, but the ROI, the payoff in the end, is going to help you grow your business, craft your business, develop. It's going to help you exponentially, you know? So definitely put some time, put some thought into finding those resources that can help you. And really, we've kind of had two different conversations here, Jeff. We've talked. So I'm going to go ahead and take a stab at takeaways for our listeners. So okay. Know your numbers was the first part of the conversation.
Know your numbers.
Know your numbers. And that's where Forecaster can help. But then that second piece, the conversation we're having now, is that take advantage of the opportunities and the programs and the benefits that are available to you. Right?
Right on. Right. Yes. Great.
Yes, we did.
Love it.
Well, so I gotta ask you, Jeff. You know, one of the things that I just find so intriguing about you specifically as a founder is how multifaceted your experience is. You kind of, you know, started out a little bit more corporate, then you were on the investment side, then you were at a startup. And so I want to ask you, you know, how can founders find someone like you? Find multivaried, dynamic mentors and supporters and employees. Like, where do the diamond? Well, you're not even a. I was about to say diamond in the rough, and I'm like, wait, you're not a diamond in the rough. You're just a diamond, man. So how can founders find diamonds like you?
Oh, you're too kind, Laura. I will say. So I did a webinar earlier today with a group called One Valley. And I'm a mentor for One Valley, for example. And okay. I'm also do mentoring for like SKU and some of the accelerator groups for venturecapital.org and different places. And so go, you know, seek out some of these programs. And a lot of them are free, where if you become a member of the community, you can get tapped into the network. And so, you know, the mentoring opportunities, There are people way smarter than me, probably more experienced than me, that are doing mentoring in different areas that could really benefit your companies. So seek those out. The other thing I'll mention is, you know, one of the huge benefits of whether it's a part of a community or an accelerator, an incubator or whatever, is networking with other founders. And Lauren, you mentioned this, of where you find some of this stuff, whether it's, you know, asking other founders, hey, what did you do when you ran into this situation? Or, you know, what software are you using? Or who are you using as a startup attorney? That becomes so valuable. So just that community, get involved with your local community. I'm guessing Kansas City probably has a great startup ecosystem or some.
We do. So I was going to say, my organization, Innovator, it's a leadership community for women and individuals of marginalized gender experience, but we have a lot of startup folks, small business owners, entrepreneurs, and it's a really robust community. And it, one of the easiest things to do is ask someone who's done it before, you know, find your local 1 million cups chapter, find whatever, you know, those entrepreneurial support organizations, find them, follow them. One of the things that I always tell people, because I go to a lot of events, Jeff, like I just do, I'm a community builder and it's part of the job. But people are always like, how do you find these cool events? And it's like, I communicate with these organizations. You know, I follow them on social media. I subscribe to the newsletters. I like, you have to accept that. Yeah, you just get more mail now, if you want to, you know, more email, if you want to figure out how to connect to your local entrepreneurial ecosystem, it takes work and it takes, you know, kind of being pretty vigilant, really, just figuring out where the opportunities are, where can I connect with people who can help me, right?
You're spot on. And Lauren, one of the things that you mentioned was going to events.
Yeah.
And the more events you go to, the more events you hear about, because you're going to meet people that are also in part of the community, and they're going to know about other things.
That's right.
And be open to that. It becomes such a wealth of benefit through the connections you make. Some of those connections you make through, you know, just networking can make a huge difference on your business.
So
don't neglect that as a founder. Make sure you carve out time to be able to network with other founders.
Yeah. Well, and it might sound or feel like we're having a different conversation from the perks conversation, but the fact is, like, it's all the flip side of the coin. Like, the fact is, you have to invest time and attention into finding opportunities for yourself. And often those opportunities come in the form of like those discounts and perks, but they also come in the form of people, mentors, people who can champion you and advocate for you.
So
just, you know, make sure that I get it. You know, as founders, we are all tired. None of us have enough money. None of us have enough time or resources. And we're all kind of scrabbling. But I promise you that if you invest in yourself, and if you invest in that professional development piece, that networking piece, you're going to see payout for sure.
Agreed.
So let me, one final, you know, one final tactical question, Jeff. Like, is there any other advice or any words of encouragement that you would like to share with our founders out there?
You know, I mean, I already mentioned the startup attorney. Get a good startup attorney. Don't use, a mediocre startup attorney. But the other thing I would say, and I got this probably from my days at Carta, but make sure you understand equity and how it works, and keep your cap table up to date. Be on top of it, project out what it means if you raise, a $5 million round and your safe and convertible notes convert. Know all of that stuff as you're going into a round of financing. Best book that I would recommend for founders would be, like, if you're raising capital, is Venture Deals by Brad Feld. It's a must read for every founder that's going to be raising capital.
Brad Feld would be one of the co-founders of Techstars. He actually owned a startup house here in the Kansas City Startup Village. So, here in KC, we are very familiar with Brad Feld. We love him a lot.
Very cool. He also wears crazy shirts. So,
yes. So definitely check that out. But yeah, find those thought leaders. So Jeff, we have come up to the human question. Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay, here it comes. And I'm going to ask you to tell. I was like, I'm going to ask him to tell on himself because I feel like he could handle this question. I don't always ask this question. But the question is, what is your guilty pleasure?
My guilty pleasure?
Yeah.
I would have to say chocolate almonds from Costco. They come in these things. And I have to be really careful because if I get them, I eat them way too fast.
Yeah, like people have to physically take them away from you.
yes, exactly. That is what immediately came to mind, and I realized that I'm out of chocolate. So yes.
All right, that is a delicious guilty pleasure, and now I'm having a craving for chocolate nuts. So thank you for that. And Jeff, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And friends, do just want to remind you really, really quickly, we owe a huge thanks to our episode sponsor. This episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by our friends over at EquipBid Auctions. Join, sell, earn. It is that easy with EquipBid Auctions. You can become an affiliate and start or grow your independent business by visiting equip-bid.me/startup today. Even easier, head to startuphustle.xyz. You know, that's our URL. Click on our partners page. You can see EquipBid's founder, Andy, has set everything set up for you to go make money. Go build your business within a business. Also want to remind you, friends, that Startup Hustle is powered by you. We love to tell founder stories, but we want to hear what you want to hear. So find us. Go to startuphustle.xyz. We have a pretty active Startup Hustle chat community on Facebook. You can find us on social media, but reach out. Let us know about the topics you want us to cover. Let us know how you feel about the information we're sharing, because we do it all for you. We are also very, very grateful that you keep on coming back to us week after week, and we will catch you next time.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.